For those of you who have just joined us, it's Joanna Bogan. We are waiting about one or two more minutes to let everyone join us on the call. This is the call Help Me Grow and Medicaid. And Charlie, are you on the call?
I am.
Great. Okay. So let's wait one or two minutes, and then we'll start with finding out who is actually joining us today. Okay? Thank you.
Are you busy right now? Well, just here's a...
Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is Joanna Bogan from Help Me Grow National, and we have
Harry
and Charlie on the line, and Charlie Bruner is joined us today from the Child and Family Policy Center. I am asking everyone to please mute their phones. We have some background noise. But before you do that, I would really like everyone to try and to introduce themselves. And I think in order to figure this out, we might be able to do it a little bit alphabetically, just to see from what states we have, and I'll just go very quickly through. Is there anyone from Alabama on the call? Oh, okay. How about California?
Rebecca Hernandez here from Orange County, California.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
Maisha Reed from Merced County, California.
Hi, welcome.
Melody Brawley from Melody Brawley from Lassen County, California.
Hey.
Mark Walden from San Francisco.
Hi, Mark. Welcome.
Susan Roddy, San Francisco.
Susan.
Jennifer Malkus from Merced County.
Great. Welcome.
Lonnie Schifroff, San Joaquin County.
And anyone else from California? That's quite a group. Is there anyone from Colorado who's joined us today? Okay. Connecticut? With Mary Jane, Delaware, Florida.
Hi, Sandra and Jennifer from Miami.
Hi, Jennifer. Anybody else from Florida? Please sign up. Anybody from Iowa?
Hi, this is PJ West in Iowa.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
Doing great, thanks.
And Kentucky?
Vanessa Gray.
Louisiana?
Hi, this is Karen Powell.
Hi, Karen. Massachusetts, I think they were... Oh,
yep.
Oh, I didn't think they were going to be able to join us. Michigan.
Deborah Strong from Michigan.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
Good, and you?
Good. Anybody from New Jersey?
Nancy Gagliano and Sunday Gustin.
Anytime. New York.
Hi, Joanna. It's Lynette L. Stewart and Patty Roble.
Hi, great. Welcome.
And Amber Slickta.
Oh, hi, Amber.
Oh, hi, Amber.
Hi.
And Jeffrey Dan.
Oh, hi, Jeffrey. Great. And Oregon? South Carolina.
Hey, Joanna, it's Jane Witowski.
Hey, Jane, how are you?
Good.
Good. Utah?
Yeah, I'm on here, Joanna. It's Barb.
Hi, Barb, how are you?
Good.
Washington State?
Hi, Rebecca Timmon.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
Sharon Bodwin.
Great. Hi, Sharon.
Hello.
And West Virginia? No. And I think somebody might be joining us from Minnesota today.
Hi, this is Kathy Witt, Minnesota Department of Health.
Hi, Kathy. Well, welcome.
And
thank you.
Paula, also with the Department of Health.
Oh, great. So did I leave any affiliates out, or did any affiliates join a little late? Great. Well, this is terrific. I mean, we have wonderful representation, and we are really thrilled to have this conversation today. And before I give the phone over to Charlie, I have asked Charlie to just give a very brief update about what is happening that is new in terms of Medicaid. And then, you know, he really would love to hear from all of you in terms of what you're doing with Medicaid. And we have a few questions that some people have also sent in. All I ask is that you mute your phone if you're not talking, and that when you do ask a question, you identify who you are and what state you're from. So, Charlie, I'm going to hand this over to you.
Well, thanks a lot, Joanna. And I also, Joanna, sent out a piece we did which wasn't directly on Medicaid except for the last section about 10 things we need to know about young children and health equity. And I hope that's useful to you as a framing piece, and we're developing it more fully with additional data and resources. But it really does seem to, I mean, as you make your case for Help Me Grow and either development in new communities or with policymakers, hope that this will be useful, because while this is generic around why it's important to address issues of health equity in young children, it really does lead into providing services and supports exactly like those that are provided under Help Me Grow. And when we have the 10 things you need to know, and then the last part is the 3 things you can do about it, what you know in order to get these into practice, at some point, it really is important to make sure that there is sustainable funding support for Help Me Grow, that it's available broadly to the families and children who most need it. And that means that at least part of it really should be financed through the health insurance system. And when we're talking about young children, that means Medicaid is by far the leading provider of services. And as I presented earlier to you all, I think that there are different ways for Medicaid to finance Help Me Grow programs. And Medicaid provides financing through administrative claiming, which is really what you need administratively to make programs work and operate in terms of staffing, which is a 50-50 match, and then through services, which are directed towards individual Medicaid recipients, and they can be on a managed care or a fee-for-service match, that are a slightly higher rate, but there are potentials for funding the different elements within Help Me Grow under both administrative claiming and the service financing. And that extends to the training and support and outreach that goes into getting the practitioner community to participate in Help Me Grow and to do developmental screening and assessment, which could be part of administrative claiming. It includes some of the work in terms of developmental screening and assessment, which can be individually billed as a service under Medicaid, which obviously compensates practitioners then for doing that and makes developmental screens more likely to occur and to be used. It includes the referral and the services of a care coordinator, who again could be funded as a direct service or under administrative claiming. And it relates to some of the services to which the care coordinator may connect children and families. Medicaid, like private health insurance and everything else in the health system, is pretty complicated. And to secure funding, one has to document that one is providing a service to or on behalf of the Medicaid population on an individual basis. So it's a service to a child, or now with Medicaid expanded in many states to cover many more parents under the Affordable Care Act, it also could be a service that goes to the parent, and particularly around things like maternal depression, services that are directed toward that parent may now be eligible under the parent's identification. But it does have to be specific there. And I think that I did spell that out to a degree. As I said, I think at our meeting in Iowa, we secured funding under Medicaid under a combination of both administrative claiming and providing it under a fee structure. And we're also exploring how it fits into a managed care contract as well. The keys to getting Medicaid funding are to work with your state Medicaid offices to provide them with the understanding of what you do and how it fits into what their structure is, and how you can provide the appropriate documentation and verification that what you're providing is to a Medicaid eligible individual, or you have some idea that this percentage under administrative claiming of the people who you'll be serving will be Medicaid eligible. One more thing I will say, and then really open it up for questions and discussion, is that we've, the Child and Family Policy Center, has also been doing work to try to get the more support under the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation and the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the two federal programs, to really look at what they can do in the long term to improve health for young children that will meet the triple aim. And the triple aim is a term that's now really in vogue in the health care industry, and particularly around healthcare reform, and particularly around the Medicare and Medicaid populations. The triple aim is to, one, improve health quality, two, improve population health, and three, to reduce per capita healthcare costs. So it's sometimes framed as, rather than funding services, you fund results, and you can do so in ways that if you can demedicalize services or do a better job in controlling or maintaining or improving health and reducing the need for more costly services later on, that's a way of achieving the triple aim. We're working to try to get a federal demonstration that would focus attention specifically on children, that would open up an opportunity for folks like you to apply to have some funding to test new models on how they fit into Medicare and Medicaid. And we're also encouraging, as states develop their state innovation and Medicaid grants, which have been, I think there are 16 states in the planning stages, to carve out some of their attention to children. The triple aim, much of the emphasis has gone so far to populations which are already high-cost users of services, and of course kids are not high-cost users by and large of services. They're not drivers of healthcare costs today, but we're really trying to get an emphasis at the federal level to support innovations at the community and state levels, which will look at how we can improve child health as a means of reducing chronic conditions in the future. So that's an extra thing that we're working on, and probably we'll be getting back to you later on as we hopefully get some traction at the federal level. That really is involved in creating opportunities for more demonstrations and innovative projects. But the topic of discussion today, I think, really is the focus on where you are in terms of developing your Help Me Grow programs and getting them in the field, and then where you see opportunities for securing additional funding for the operation of your Help Me Grow programs, and what questions you have around Medicaid as a funding source.
Great. Thank you so much, Charlie. I know there are quite a few people on the call, but I guess I would like to hear from any of the affiliates who are at this point collecting Medicaid funds and are at the beginning stages of that, and just sharing that experience. Is there anyone? I know Utah, Barbara, you had several questions about this. Have you started to look at Medicaid financing?
We're just, this is Barbara with Utah, Joanna, and we're just beginning the process. In fact, I had an in-detailed call with Lauren because they're currently using Medicaid funding, and so from that call, I've been doing a lot more investigation in our state and trying to develop the relationships that we need to move forward in that. So that's where I'm at. I'm just on the very beginning.
And I know that you had a question about if you were to collect the information, how you would extract that information from your Help Me Grow database. Is that correct?
So currently, we're collecting right now insurance and how families are insured, because it's the only way we can send them to wherever they need to go. But we had a partner that we shared data with, and they asked us not to send any information on insurance. So I was just curious, because they said then it moves them into the HIPAA realm, and I was just curious with other entities, how all the other Help Me Grows, how they're handling that with the HIPAA. So that was just my question. I probably didn't phrase it very well. I'm sorry.
This is Rebecca from Orange County, California. And we recently signed a contract with our healthcare agency in Orange County to implement MAW, Medicaid Administrative Activities. And it turns out the way at least California does it is we don't drill down to the child or insurance level. MA only requires, well, it's new this year. It did shift where they were doing time surveys, basically time sheets that needed to be completed, I think, 2 weeks out of the year. But this year it changed that we actually have to have time surveys for every single day. But rather than looking at the child insurance, what they actually want us to look at to say that it's a MA-related activity is if it's paid for by Medi-Cal here. So it doesn't matter what the child's insurance is. All that matters is if we're referring them to an activity that would be covered by insurance. So it covers any referrals that we do for developmental screening, anything for speech and language evaluation. So our team actually completes, it's a coding system, these time surveys, looking at the types of referrals we're giving. So to answer your question, Barbara, here in California, there's no HIPAA issue because we're not giving child information or health insurance information. I hope that helps.
Great. Thank you. I'm not sure if Alameda County is on the call. Is there someone from Alameda County?
I didn't hear Lauren sign in.
Okay, because I do know that they've had experiences. Anybody else?
This is Alice from Orange County. Can I clarify something for a moment before you do Alameda? And just to clarify, we recognize statewide in California that the MA is for those that are Medicaid eligible, but I think what Rebecca was referring to is that when we do our initial intake, those children may be covered by other insurance, but at the time, we don't know that. Understand what I'm saying?
Yes, that makes sense.
This is Jeff from New York. Just a question of clarity for myself on this general topic of Medicaid reimbursement. The first step is, are you an eligible provider to bill Medicaid? And, of course, the screening the screening done by most pediatric practices, that's a medical physician or nurse practitioner, they're an eligible provider with which to bill the Medicaid program, assuming that they're participating with the Medicaid program. So I don't think that's much of a surprise to the callers. In New York State, we have a fairly robust Medicaid reimbursement for developmental screening and rescreening. But what we don't have in New York, at least my understanding, is we do not have this Medicaid administrative activity that's being billed. And I heard from the folks from California that you're billing Medicaid for the care coordinator intake function as an administrative task. Is that correct?
Alice, do you want to answer that?
I'm sorry, I had to unmute. Yes.
So you're billing the Medi-Cal program for a MA transaction.
It's not necessarily a billing. It's a time survey of how each of us complete our time, what portion of our day we work on those eligible law activities.
And who do you submit the time summaries to?
We have a local government agency for each county that would is the coordinator, and then it is submitted to the state.
Are you a state employee?
No.
No. Okay.
So this is Carol Ewart in Sonoma County, California. That the MA money is a reimbursement for Medicaid related activities. It isn't a payment for a Medicaid interaction. it seems like we're just a little kind of off kilter in how we're talking about it here. So, I mean, is that, Alice, is that what you're talking about?
We bill, this is Rebecca in Orange County. My understanding, you're right, it's not billing, it's reimbursement, but what we code it as is outreach, because we're referring to those Medi-Cal programs, reimbursed programs.
Let me explain, I'll try to explain. I mean, there's a difference between administrative claiming and claiming for services, and as New York indicated, practitioners get paid for doing EPSDT visits, for doing well-child visits. They can separately bill in some states under a different billing code for developmental screening, which could be ages and stages, and it could be something else. And they can be reimbursed for that. In those service claims, the child will have to be Medicaid eligible to be billed. There is administrative claiming, and really, I mean, there are a number of things that Help Me Grow does that are eligible for administrative claiming. The person who directs the Help Me Grow work themselves and is overall managing and administering is eligible. The work with doing physician outreach and engagement and training to prepare practitioners so that they do developmental screening is eligible. Some of the activities can be claimed under that care coordination function, as was indicated. Data work and evaluation is eligible for claiming under administrative claiming. But these have to be done by really saying this person was doing this work that is related to something eligible. So if there are some activities that the director may be doing that are eligible as far as administrative work and some that they aren't, and so on for all these, and that has to be worked out with your agency. When you talk about time studies, and often they're random time studies, is to go in and say, for people who may be doing a variety of functions, to know enough to be able to say, yes, at 3/8 of their time this month, or so many hours out of so many hours this month, were spent on Medicaid-eligible services under administrative claiming. It still has to be a portion to the Medicaid-eligible population, and that can be done in several ways. In effect, if you're doing that practitioner education and outreach and engagement, and you're having people go out and do that, you're going to be training practitioners, and they're sometimes going to be serving Medicaid patients, and sometimes they're going to be serving non-Medicaid patients. So you have to determine what percentage of time really they are going to be serving Medicaid patients. If that's 2/3 of the time, then you're going to be able to get 2/3 of whatever time that is acknowledged as being for Medicaid eligible services, eligible for Medicaid coverage. So, I mean, administrative claiming is more looking at what the person who is in some administrative role is doing, and to determine what amount of their time they're doing that, what portion of their time they're doing that, and then that's multiplied by the percentage of the population that they're doing it for that's Medicaid eligible in order to come up with Medicaid reimbursement. On a service basis, it's, is the child Medicaid eligible, and if they are, and they receive a service that's covered under Medicaid, then they're reimbursed for that service. And that can be on a some schedule. I mean, and states vary in terms of what they provide for something like doing a developmental screen from $15 to $40 or $50. So they have to be cost-based reimbursements, but then you're reimbursing on the basis of individual services, not on the basis of the administrative time that's being expended. And I think with both the real, the challenge and opportunity is to develop a system that allows you to do in an administratively feasible and streamlined way the gathering of the necessary documentation that's going to satisfy Medicaid in terms of processing the claims, because they will be doing or you are subject to monitoring and determination that what you said you were going to do, you actually did.
Thank you, Charlie. Any other questions? I have one question.
It's Sunday. I just wanted to answer to respond to Barbara's inquiry about HIPAA and sharing information for our central intake, county level central intakes. What all of the core partners have, they have business affiliation agreements, and so in fact they are able to share the name and the insurance and what have you. And it might be worth going through that process so that you are in compliance with HIPAA. So I just wanted to share that one piece.
Thank you very much. That was great. Any other questions so far? So I have a question someone sent in. Charlie, what they're saying is if they haven't started a relationship with their Medicaid agency, how would you suggest that they approach this if they want to try and start claiming in terms of administrative? Do you have any tips for what you would sort of say and how you would frame it?
That's a really good question, Joanna. It's I think it's finding the people within the Medicaid agency who can make these types of decisions and who have and know how and have and do negotiate their Title 19 plans with the federal office, the federal CMS office, and to get them to understand what you're doing and to work it so that they see this as something that's valuable and that they would like to see happen. I think it's about building relationships with the people in your state offices who are doing the negotiations and making the decisions. And we've had a lot of history of working in Iowa and on a variety of issues, and we've developed some people, I think, who really have an understanding of what we're trying to do and why we're trying to do it, and who really see their roles as being the translator of what we want to do to what they can make a case for and secure in terms of the state plan amendment and work with the feds and do something that's going to be held up and won't be subject to audit exceptions. And if they're bought into the process, I think it's I think that's key. and that you have to recognize where they are in terms of what they're doing. And they have a lot of things going on in terms of their constant negotiations with the feds, but to try to identify that kind of within the administration champion. And I think it does require some degree of patience, but really also just making sure that they understand what you're doing and why it really fits into meeting Medicaid's goals as far as improving child health.
This is Jeff again from New York. Charlie, can you share with us your Iowa model so that we understand how you approached it and a little bit more of the details of it?
Yeah, I can certainly do that. We actually, in Iowa, we got a state appropriation to finance our Help Me Grow program, First Five, and got it started, and it did not have Medicaid funding. And then we went back to the General Assembly and to the state Medicaid office and basically said, what are the ways that we can then maximize the state funds or by drawing down additional Medicaid resources, and got the legislature to direct the department to do work in this area. At the same time, we were working with the department to make sure that they were okay with this approach, but it sort of got a buy-in from both the legislature and the Medicaid office. And then with our Medicaid office and our program people around First Five, we really went through a lot of describing just how we were doing the work and pushing for what are the different ways that Medicaid could finance this work, and did decide, in Iowa we have some of the services provided as services. The care coordination itself is a service, so it's reimbursed on a per event basis with the child or with the family talking about the child, and the developmental screening is something that is built into the Medicaid reimbursement for practitioners, but management of the project, the ongoing training and support functions that go to working with local practitioners, and that work go toward identifying what are the community services and supports, that community care liaison work, and the evaluation and data analysis work, all are part of an administrative claiming contract. And we get a 50-50 match on administrative claiming, which states do. And then it's estimated that the First Five program serves about 65 or 70% Medicaid patients. So that portion of the funding is 70% times 50%, or about 35% of our kind of core administrative work, not counting the care coordination and the developmental screening, is covered under administrative claiming.
And is that,
and we're further,
is that done,
looking at what are the specific services? I mean, if a person is referred to Part C services, those are covered under Medicaid, and we're working to try to have some other services that are right now not covered to potentially be covered under Medicaid, like some of the home visiting programs that are referred to.
Okay, so screening is bundled into the Iowa State provider encounter, I guess, well visit or whatever the case may be. It's not a separate billable
transaction. I think we provide $40 per developmental screen for the practitioner. It's a separate billing code, so they get compensated for the well child visit, and they get compensated for the developmental screen that they do.
Okay, and the third service you mentioned in Iowa was care coordination, kind of like a social worker.
Right, and that's the telephone care coordination when they refer a family from the office to say, I think that you need to follow up and help this family secure services, and that's where we do our motivational interviewing and our identification of what we can get people to and to move beyond referring to actual scheduling of appointments and so on.
And who bills that care coordination? To whom? Who bills to whom?
Well, again, that's somebody that our care coordinators have to meet qualifications around supervision and other things to be Medicaid eligible providers.
Okay, so they have to be enrolled in the Medicaid as a Medicaid provider. So
right.
Do they have to be social worker?
No, they don't.
But they okay. So they have to
be under the supervision of a licensed practitioner of the healing arts and they have their patterns of what they do relate to their responsibilities around the child's health and developmental needs.
So are they? So I understand. In my terminology, that would be incident two. So typically, a licensed provider would be able to bill for a unlicensed professional incident two, but the billing entity or the billing provider
is a
licensed provider. So in your case, under the care coordinator who's part of the Help Me Grow initiative, and let's say in this example, it might be in the United Way agency, maybe the 211 agency, how does the care coordinator determine who's going to bill that time and through what provider?
So I think, Rebecca, if you're still on the line, that's exactly what you were saying you do, correct?
We actually have our care coordinators do the time survey, but where I think we've diverged a little bit is that under MAW, it is really referring to health-related services that are covered by Medicaid. So we don't have them, and I'll go back and circle back to our liaison with the healthcare agency, but they are not supervised by a licensed practitioner for us to be able to receive the reimbursement. And match.
That's correct.
So I think where we are in trying to understand that for MAW, they aren't a Medicaid provider. They aren't supervised by a Medicaid provider.
So a little bit different then in California than the Iowa, but it would be helpful to get the specific details of each just so we can have a reference point to try to begin the discussions in our respective states, because I have some clarity on how the service activities are being billed under the traditional provider pathways, except for California that has this MA exception.
And that's because it's an administrative activity versus a service.
Right. And then Charlie was describing his administrative activities of program management and outreach education and liaison work that was being reimbursed by the Medicaid program, but I don't know how and who how that money is obtained to the Help Me Grow program that's funding that position.
This is Joanna. I think that what Charlie's saying is the Help Me Grow mechanism within Iowa is what they then are under. They have a pediatric person who they then do the care coordination for, and that's how they are able to bill it.
Well, that's the key. Yeah, I understood that. That's the care coordination piece, but the other pieces of...
administrative piece is
yeah,
what you're asking?
Yeah, the more administrative piece, the project management, the,
right.
The outreach to providers.
That would be, Charlie, you advocated for that.
Yeah, and that's under administrative claiming.
Under administrative. So what we need is a crash course on... Medicaid, it's 101 administrative claiming. How does it work? And maybe set up I don't even know how to approach it. Would you set up discussions with the local health department, social services on a Medicaid level and a county level, or do you try it on a state level?
State level.
This is Alice, Orange County. It may be dependent on your state.
Okay.
So in Orange County, we have a local government agency in the county that works with our state.
Yeah, that's how we are, too.
Right.
Well,
in some ways, I mean, if you look at what your budget is for Help Me Grow and who does what under that budget, and then look at what are they doing now that would be claimable under Medicaid, probably looking at it both, would it be claimable under administrative claiming? In some instances, it could be claimable there, or it could be claimable under a service funding. And when you get into care coordination, targeted case management, really you do have options about whether you want to use administrative claiming or service claiming.
To be honest, I've never heard of administrative claiming until this call. I'm more familiar with the traditional service billing events in the state.
Well, why we're so happy to have this call and to have Charlie join us, because as we can tell anyone listening, it's very complicated, and certainly... we have the federal Medicaid agency, but then every state is a little bit different. What I wanted to ask Charlie, I think Mary Jane sort of had a question about.
Well, it's more of thinking about strategy as we move forward within each state. You know, approaching your Medicaid agency can be a little challenging. And one possibility to help move the agenda forward is to find advocacy organizations in your state that would be supportive of you approaching the Medicaid agency so that you're going to the table with more than just yourself and really making a stronger case for what you're proposing.
I agree. This is Jeff again. I agree. To be able to give a state a clear illustration of a model, an innovative model that's being done by Medicaid in another state would certainly spur some reaction.
Definitely.
Yes.
I think that's a great springboard.
And certainly it seems like Charlie has, you've done a lot of work in outlining this in many different documents, just to make sure everybody's aware that Charlie wrote a brief, Help Me Grow in Medicaid, Opportunities for Expansion and Sustainability. And so a lot of the information that we're discussing is within that brief. But what I'm hearing you say, Jeff, is having it even more concrete as far as the steps that one would take to actually approach the Medicaid agency, what the opportunities are that have already happened in, let's say, Orange County, perhaps Alameda, and in Iowa. So then you can go to your county or state Medicaid agency and say, look, this is what other states have done. And I certainly think that that's how a lot of Medicaid changes, because states start out and they pave the way, and then other states see that, yes, I think I've heard many times you can go to a Medicaid agency and they just say, no, we can't cover that. But what, Charlie, I think you're saying is, yes, we can, and that we should be able to provide our affiliates through the National Center with as much support as possible to figure this out as, you know, sort of maneuver through the piece.
Yes, exactly. What would be an added plus would be a press release from the Iowa Medicaid Department of Health Medicaid office touting this new service they're providing in conjunction with this federal program called Help Me Grow.
Uh-huh. Well, that sounds great, and we will take that into consideration.
Yeah, no, that sounds I wanted to just try to go back one more time. I mean, I think as an example of the – I mean, we have Help Me Grow, and we're expanding it statewide, but we have it, obviously, in Des Moines as our largest metropolitan area in Iowa. Not huge by New York standards or other state standards, but there we have it in our Visiting Nurses Services program, and there's a director who's responsible, our project manager, who is a licensed practitioner of the healing arts, but she's really responsible for managing the whole thing, and she has worked out a relationship and contract as far as she does some practitioner education, and some of it's done through other practitioners in the field to get offices and practices to be part of Help Me Grow in Des Moines. There are then three care coordinators who are basically full-time doing the care coordination function when they get referrals from the practitioners. And we have a community health liaison in the field who is working with community providers and educating and doing lunch and learns and identifying who's out there and also providing some contact with the care coordinators when they're looking for a service. So we have basically that operation. And saying that, and then we have also a data system and an evaluation and feedback system as well. And what we look for in terms of administrative claiming now is the work that that director is doing and her outreach to medical providers and the outreach that other medical providers do to one another and the community liaison's work and the evaluation are all part of our administrative claiming for Help Me Grow. And it means that about, you know, for every dollar for the project that had been all state dollars now is 70 cents state dollars and 30 cents federal dollars because we've gotten that match. For the care coordinator, the three care coordinators were providing a service match, which is on not on the basis of how much we actually spend on their salaries and supports, but on, you know, the units of service they provide. And we pick up a little higher rate of federal matching for that under the direct service funding for those care coordinators. But I think kind of here's the way we make the program work in this locality is we need these people doing care coordination and we need to have the work going on at the community liaison level in life. So this is our team, and it has also some things that it contracts out for, and we're really looking at that whole thing is this is our service now. We think that a good share of this ought to be eligible for Medicaid reimbursement, and that's really what we brought to the Medicaid office, and a description of what the people did and what their overall work was and their supervision and their core, and then worked out with our Medicaid office then how to best access Medicaid financing. And that was both to draw down as much Medicaid funding as we could so it would extend our state dollars and community dollars and allow us to do more, and to do so in a way that did not impinge upon people unnecessarily, to make it so convoluted that it was more trouble than it was worth.
So this is Rebecca from Orange County. Charlie, I have a question. Do your care coordinators, the ones that you talk about working through your visiting nurses group, are they actually seeing the families face-to-face, or are they working through a call center?
They primarily work through a call center, and some occasions they do see people face-to-face.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's billable as far as a call center.
Okay.
This is Joanna. I'm looking at the time. I can't believe it's already 2 o'clock. But this has been really great, and a lot of things going on as far as next steps. Certainly the National Center will keep everybody who's been on the call informed. I think we got everyone's name, but if we didn't, let Sarah know that you were on the call and want to be included. Right, send an email. And I just did want to share that Dr. Dworkin and I and Sarah had an opportunity this morning to meet with one of our state senators, Senator Murphy, who is on the Health Committee. And this discussion came up. And there was a lot of potential interest there. So not only from the state viewpoint, but looking at the federal viewpoint and CMS, we will be continuing this conversation and following up with Charlie and Orange County, Alameda County. Jeff, I hear you loud and clear, as much information as we can get. So you all then can start the advocacy in your states for the reimbursement. Charlie's paper talks about that this often requires outside-the-box thinking, but Charlie, you have done an amazing job not only for Iowa, but really for the affiliates and for the country in moving this forward. And we really, really appreciate your advocacy and willingness to share with us today.
Well, thanks. And I really do hope we'll make it easier and easier for people to do this the more we're able to have people be successful.
Yeah. That's great. And it really, really reflects the sustainability of Help Me Grow Systems and how important this is for that. Thank you very, very much, everybody. And it was great talking to people since I hope you all had a great summer. And we will be in touch in the next few days with sending out our directory of expertise that we created from the forum and also our newest e-note. So have a good afternoon or morning, depending on where you are. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Please stand by.